Thank you very much for coming. How can I show? It is the first time for you.
It is the first time.
Oh.
Could you explain about bookshop?
Book art bookshop.
Book art bookshop. Well, we've been going for 15 years. And we're 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and we've had our ups and downs in 16 years, but overall, we've had exhibitions every fortnight, and new publishers coming and joining the bookshop. So we started with about 30, and now we have nearly 2,000 publishers in here. And some of them are individual artists who made one book. Some of them are publishers that have been around a lot longer, who've produced, you know, many books that are to do with art and image, visuals and image and text. But yeah.
So art book, it means what kind of book?
Well, you know, I'm interested in what happens when you put an image with text. So this is where my interest lies. But why a book? Because a book is intimate, and because a book is something that you can experience in private, and also you can buy a book, whereas I found that art is very expensive to buy, pictures and things in frames, whereas books, they tend to be, you know, the very, very special handmade books are much more expensive.
Yeah.
But the kind of books we sell are from £50 on. And so that's how I got interested. And when I first got interested in artist books, I thought that artist books could change the world. Because I'm the kind of person that thinks that, you know, to be moved, something has to happen inside. There has to be a click. And if you're told what to think, it doesn't work. But if you read something and you experience it and it works on you in a more emotional, more sensory level, then something in you can start to change. So this is why I thought artist books could be very good vehicles for change. I thought that it could be a way of conveying information about medical conditions. I imagine that you could be sitting at the doctor's in the waiting room and you could be reading an artist book. And the way that the information was portrayed would make more emotional sense than something which was, oh my God.
I can't. You're not allowed to put that in it.
No, I'm not taking anything. Don't worry. Phoenix, how is it? First day at school. Fourth day at school, sorry, fourth day at school, not bad, still surviving. God, he looks so cool. He does, he's brilliant. I'm actually being interviewed on a radio program right now by because Frank used to work. Frank makes books, and his partner Cass was one of the first people to turn up in the bookshop with a suitcase full of books from Foundry Press, and to show them to me. And I said, absolutely, we want these books in the bookshop. Yes, we've still got some here. Look. This one here, for instance, is one of Frank's books, a really good one. Anyway, so then Frank came and worked here on Saturdays, and probably more days as well, actually, if I...
So all sorts of people have been involved in this bookshop since then. We've had lots of different people, mostly artists. So people that, you know, can afford to give up their time and come and work here.
See ya! Anyway, so where do we get to? Did we?
So you say the book is more.
It's a way of experiencing. It's experiencing that interests me, and then when I discovered by visiting printed matter in New York.
In New York,
printed matter that had been going for a long time, I discovered that, you know, artist books was a place where women felt more able to publish their work, whereas in mainstream publishing it was more patriarchal and much more difficult, I think, for women to be published. So once again it was like, wow, there's this kind of, you know, there's a bookshop and a genre where it's more egalitarian, and in fact women are able to speak with their own voices and get their stories heard in this medium. So that was another reason why I was very sort of interested.
So 80s?
No, so it's later than that, really. It's not early 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
So you also, you learn in art or?
Me, personally, I went to Chelsea School of Art and studied sculpture. But I did feel that sculpture was, well, being at Chelsea in a studio was a very sort of public kind of performance, because you're making art and you've got these people, you're making art and you've got these people walking past, watching you making things. So I didn't feel comfortable with that, but I felt comfortable at home with a sketchbook or a diary. And so then the discovery of artist books was that it was a way of bringing these two feelings together.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The public and the private. And the library at Chelsea School of Art was then headed by somebody called Dr. Stephen Berry, who now has an important role in the state somewhere. I ought to know, but I can't think right now what it is. And he really inspired me by showing me the collection that they have of artist books, and that's where I suddenly realised that there was this whole other genre out there. And discovered an English publishing house called Bookworks, which is run by Jane Rowlow. And they did an exhibition about women's artist books, which I took part in. And so, you know, it was like in those days there wasn't so much going on in artist books. There'd been a big thing in the 60s, but then it had gone quiet. And I think it was very, there's a lot of craft and a lot of kind of, you know, sort of fine printing, fine bookbinding. But just the sort of artist book kind of quality was, you know, that we see today wasn't so prevalent. And somebody called Stefan Chelkin, who's a real kind of facilitator and activist, he was in the 60s and 70s, I think more 70s, he wrote a book called Collaboration. He was like in street theatre and agitprop and all that kind of stuff. And he was the one that said, why don't you, he had a conference, he said, why don't you edit the artist book yearbook as a place where artist books can list all the books, artists can list all the books they've produced. And that was the beginning of this. You see, there's an artist book yearbook now, which is run by the University of West England by Sarah Bodman. So I did it in 94. I did three issues. 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. They were nowhere nearly as good as this, because it was right at the beginning. And but we did basically the same thing, which was just list artist books that were produced over it. So if you look here, look, you've got all the different artists, and they just list the books that they produce. It's a place to really document all the books that are produced over like 2 years. And that's been going since 94, and it was taken over by Sarah Bodman, who is this amazing, very, very active and intelligent, you know, amazing person that works at the University of West England. She's made the artist yearbook be internationally renowned. And she also produces a newsletter every month called the Blue Newsletter. So, you know, there's a lot more going on than there was when I first started. But does that answer your question more than you imagine?
Art, for example, me, art is so authentic, so fire. But you try to connect the artist and their world and the more usual person's world connected. So the book is good because the reader could come into their own world, on what the daily life, they could see the art. So you try to list up the art book and so to distribute the other person like that. So you try to become medium to connect to artists and people.
And like the audience. And the audience. And I don't think a book is actually activated till it's opened and alive. You know, it's like when it's on the shelf, it's there, but it has to be bought, it has to leave here. And over 16 years, we've sold thousands of books. Thousands.
Yeah.
You know, because our books are cheap. And so we've sold thousands of books, and I love the idea of these books kind of flying out, you know? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't stay here, it comes and then it sort of floats out again. get out into the world instead of staying underneath people's beds or in boxes mm-hmm. or in the attic or the cellar. Or mm-hmm. Get them out.
Mm-hmm. So you want to just in books. And as editor, you started your activity.
Yes.
But why you opened your own
book? Well, because at one of the book fairs, mm. it was November the 5th, 2000, mm. I did a talk with two other people, one called Clive Philpott, who's mm. been very involved in artist books for a long time, big collector and a mm. librarian as well, you know, made collections and librarian, and he, and I asked him and a woman called Tertia Longmire to do a kind of talk about why, asking the question, why is there not, I'm not even sure if Clive Philpott was involved at that point, he may have been, I think he was, to ask him to kind of chair a talk about why is there not a bookshop in London mm. that sells artist books anymore, because there had been, mm. there had been an excellent one called Work for the Eye to Do, mm. which was run by Coracle Press. Mm. All these people, like, you could do one radio program just about Coracle Press, mm. just about Clive Philpott, mm. just about Sarah Bodman. You know, these are all really incredibly sort of special people in book art. Mm. But anyway, Alistair Brochi, who runs Atlas Press, mm. he came, he was selling his books at that book fair, and he came to the talk, mm. And at the end of the talk he said to me, well, I have a space underneath my building, a shop, and if you want to run a bookshop from there, you can have it. And I said, I wasn't intending to be the person to run the bookshop. I just recently had a small child, baby, and I recently had a fully formed small child. I had a small child, and you know, it wasn't my idea that I should be the one to run the bookshop. I just thought it would be good if there was a bookshop. But then when I saw the space, and I talked to him, and I suddenly realised that actually this was what I wanted to do. So that's how I got involved in having this bookshop, was that Alistair Brochi, it's really thanks to Alistair Brochi and Atlas Press that we had this bookshop mm. at no rent for a very, very long time. No. And so we sell his books and we promote his books and we do events here and we got involved with his interest in pataphysics and, you know, and then it became like a whole world. So little by little everything kind of came together.
And also in this bookshop, not only for art, but also the zine, a lot of zines.
Well, people come off the streets all the time bringing me their zines. Uh-huh. They just come in, and I don't make a big thing about selling zines, mm-hmm. because when you think about it, I need to have books that are a variety of different kinds of books. I don't want to be overwhelmed by zines or any kind of books. Mm-hmm. I want there to be always a balance of lots of different kinds of genre of artist books, mm-hmm. from very handmade to trade to zines to flip books to, you know, variety. Mm-hmm. But so often people come in and say, oh, I've made this zine and da-da-da, and I've just made it now, and we buy three, mm-hmm. usually outright from them if they're cheap. Mm-hmm. And recently I've noticed that more universities, libraries are collecting zines.
Really?
So now Middlesex University are collecting zines quite seriously, mm-hmm. because that's what the students want. They want to look at zines, uh-huh. you know, because it's something that they can identify with and mm-hmm. make themselves, and it doesn't have high production values or costs.
Why do you think there is more people interested in zines?
I don't know if more people are interested in zine, or whether we're just interested in zine, and so we're listening out for that interest, you know, because when you think about the millions of people out there, I think they're not interested in zines. I think there are small communities of people, small communities of people that want to feel like they belong in something. You know, and so I think there's that sense that, you know, you can contribute to something, or you have a place. And I remember that for me, the feeling of making something, making a book, was really empowering, you know, and it was because once it was out there, you had no control where it went. You know, it's like you make a book in 500 copies, and you start to sell it or give it or whatever, and, you know, it's on its journey, it's gone off, it's disappeared, and so a little bit of you is out there. Yeah. And I think that's a really powerful feeling.
And then the book, you can give by hand. Hand by hand.
You can have a more personal connection with people and give them something of you. But you can also sell it, you know.
And this bookshop is not so huge, but small, but you sometimes make this space more creatively. Sometimes workshops, sometimes party, and how do you use this space?
Well, I mean, I had a fantastic rubber stamp workshop in here when Stephen Fowler, but anyway, and it showed you all the different ways that you could actually, all the different artists that use rubber stamps in their work, and so we did a workshop here, and that was where some of the students came up with a really nice rubber stamp image of Theresa May, our Prime Minister here. You see this one here, and this was done in the workshop. So, you know, just for one day, we just emptied the tables, I put the books away. It's not good for business, you know. I mean, all the parties, all the exhibitions, all the private views, we just spend too much money on refreshments. And, but I feel like it gives the shop a kind of history. And when you walk in here, I feel it. I feel as though I'm surrounded by all these memories and all these things that have happened and all these people who I really do care about. I mean, you know, we are a community, and we've seen people born. We've seen people born and we've seen people die. You know, one of my dearest friends, a fantastic artist called Les Coleman, you know, he was involved in the bookshop from the very start, about 3 or 4 years ago he died, and it was a real shock, and I suddenly realised, my goodness, when you're involved in something for a long time, you begin to care about these people, and we will see everything happen to each other. We are a community, you know, and mostly everybody in here I've met. They've come in, you know, and it's boring if people don't come. I don't want to send things by post so much, or order things online. I want to meet people and talk to them, because then I will remember you. You know, if you send me something in the post, I won't really connect to it. So then I won't be able to sell it. Which is a shame for people who live abroad, but that's just the way it is. It's a small shop anyway, so I can't really take books from, you know, if people from America start sending me books, it's not going to work.
So now we can get anything from internet. But this is so people come into this space and connect each other. So
when you come into the space with something that you want, it's like beginning to tell a story. Because one book naturally leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. So, you know, you come in and you'll find that if you speak to me about something, I will connect your book, the book you're looking for, with something else, with something else. And that's a really nice sort of experience. It may not be the experience you want. You might want to come in and not talk. That's fine. It might be difficult.
Workshop also, they're making things and start to tell about themselves. So, that's a good medium. So, I love this space.
Good, I can tell you love it because you come back to visit me, so. But, well, look, I think that's plenty now, don't you? Plenty of talking.
But not selling much, so it is difficult for you to keep it. Thanks very much to keep this shop.
Thank you.
I'm very glad. Because this shop inspired me. Do you remember? First, when I brought my zine, Grassroots Media Zine, second, you said, this is more text. It is not for this bookshop. So I thought, okay, next time. I will think more artistic. So I tried the third one, grassroots medicine itself as the hobby. So yeah. I bring. And you get our zine and put the zine on the window. I'm so glad and so inspired.
Oh, so I'm glad.
And you keep your shop, so thank you.
We'll try to keep going. I don't see any reason why we won't keep going for longer.
And also, I say here, there's more people come and talk with you. So listening, for me, that kind of atmosphere is so great. So, arigato gozaimasu. Thank you very much for coming to our radio show.
Well, thank you for having me, as they say. I hope there's something useful that I haven't gone on too much about.